I wonder if you have tension in your life. I'm not talking about muscle tension or something like that. The tension I'm talking about is the tension between who you are and what you think you should be. The tension between what is in your life and what could be, and that tugging at your heart that tells you there must be something more to life than what I'm currently experiencing. I think that tension is very common. In fact, I think it's something that God has placed in us in order to get us to seek after Him and to find the life that He's created us to live. But a lot of times people are seeking a way to fill that place in their life and get rid of that tension in their life, but they just don't know how to do it. So today I'm going to begin to show you how. And really the way that we begin to release that tension in our life is we begin to see things from God's perspective, and we begin to experience things from where God is at in our life. And if we'll do that, we'll begin to experience the fullness of life that we were designed to live. So if you want to know how to do that, and that sounds good to you, today's message is going to be for you. So don't tune me out. Watch this whole thing today. It's going to help you. So thank you for being here, and welcome to The Refuge. You know, as I'm recording this today, there's kind of a controversy going around on the internet, and it's about a little audio clip, and if you are on the internet at all, social media, whatever, you have probably heard it, and it's just a short clip, and in this clip, some people hear the clip say Laurel, and some people hear the clip say Yanni, and by the way, I'm firmly on Team Laurel. I don't know how you hear Yanni in that, but that's neither here nor there. But there's this kind of like, you know, debate going on about whether it's Laurel or whether it's Yanni. And so I had asked my daughter if she had seen this a few days ago, and she said she had, and we were kind of talking about it, and she said, you know, this is just like that gold dress, that dress thing that was going on a few months ago. And you will remember this dress that you know, some people saw it as a gold dress and other people saw the very same dress as a blue dress. And I confess to you, when I first saw that picture, I thought this is definitely a gold dress. And that was the end of that. But then one day I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, and someone had posted that, and as the picture scrolled by on my Facebook, it came up as gold, and then it transformed into blue as it was scrolling off my screen, and I was completely blown away by that because it was a completely different color. And so I was talking to my daughter about that, and I've been preparing to get ready to start this brand new series called See. And as I was talking to my daughter, it occurred to me how different our perspectives are on life, how we see things differently, we hear things differently, we understand things differently based on who we are, maybe our education, our upbringing, our experience in life. And so I might have an outlook on life that's one way, and you have an outlook on life that's a different way. And I say to you, no, you're wrong, I'm right. And you say to me, no, you're wrong and I'm right. And we're left thinking, well, I wonder who's right. And in our culture today, we'll just say, well, everybody's right. And the fact of the matter, everybody can't be right. There's got to be some truth that's more than just my experience. There's got to be a truth that's more than your experience. And so what is that? How do we find that? So it occurs to me, really the only way to truly find the right perspective on life and see life in the right way is if we're seeing life the way that God sees life. And that's really what I want to talk about today and for the next couple weeks, is seeing life the way that God sees life. And if we do that, we're able to experience life in a completely different way and experience the life that God promised us. And so let's talk about that today. And I want to start by saying this. Oftentimes in our life, because of our experience, because maybe we're not where we feel like we should be in life, there's a tug in our heart. There is this... I remember several years ago, Switchfoot, the band, had a song, and it said something to the effect of the tension between what is and what could be. And you know, I think that's pretty common for a lot of people. We're living life, you know, we're going through life, we're surviving life, we're going through the motions, but there's a tension there between what it is that we're living and experiencing, what we really feel in our heart we really should be. And so how do we figure that out? And really we start by figuring out by going, you know what, that's something that God has placed in all of us. That tension is something that God has placed in us to put a desire in us to begin to seek after Him. And oftentimes we try to fill that void with all sorts of different things. But really, we have to understand that only God and His purpose for our life and His love in us can fill that place. And so we have that tension in our life, and we know that we're meant to do greater things or to do something more. You know, almost everybody, if you're, you know, just a normal person, you want to feel like you're leaving a mark on the world. You want to feel like your life matters. And you know, as I was in my own personal studies and devotions, I came across this quote that I want to share with you today from Helen Keller. If you have never studied or known about the life of Helen Keller, you really need to check that out, because she's an amazingly inspiring woman. And she said this. She said, "One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar." Man, I love that quote so much. When one can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar. And that's speaking to that tension that I was just talking about. Sometimes we feel like we're creeping through life, but somewhere inside of us, we know that we were meant to soar. And so how do we come to that place where we can soar? We have to see things the way that God sees things, experience life the way that He wants us to experience. So that brings me to my bottom line for this series, and you'll hear this quite a few times over the course of this series. My bottom line is this: if you want to soar, first you must see. If you want to soar, first you must see. So let's take a look at the scripture today. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 35, it says this. It says, "The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God.' And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus looked around and saw them following. 'What do you want?' he asked them. And they replied, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he said. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. And Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus, and looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas,' which means Peter." You know, there's so much amazing context in that verse, and I want to share a little bit with that you today. So that scripture starts with this: two of John's disciples are standing with John, and you know, John has been mentoring them, he's been teaching them, he's been hanging out with them, he's been causing them to see a vision of something that they don't yet see. And so he's been saying to them, you know, the Messiah is coming, and he's going to be greater than me. You know, at one point John said, "There will come one greater after me that I'm not even able to loose the strap on his shoe because I'm not worthy." And John has been teaching his disciples. And so one day Jesus walks by, and John just looks at Jesus, and he turns to his disciples and he says, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And you know, many translations of the Bible, you know, instead of "look," it says "behold." In that word "look" or "behold," it's more than just, hey, you know, look at that. That's cool, isn't it? You know, that word "behold," that word "look" means stop what you're doing and pay attention to what I'm saying. And so John looks at his disciples and he says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God, and he's going to take away the sin of the world. That is the one." And the scripture says immediately John's disciples followed after Jesus. Now, the question comes up in my mind, why did they go follow after Jesus? Because John didn't say, you know, "Do you think you should go follow him?" Or "You should go follow him," or "Hey, that's the one I've been talking about." He just says, "Hey, look at that guy. Look, there's the Lamb of God." And immediately the disciples follow after him. So why did they follow after him? I believe the answer to that lies in this concept of seeing. John, throughout his mentoring of these disciples, had been teaching them and instructing them and showing them how to see something that they did not yet see. He was teaching them about who the Messiah was, what the Messiah would do, what the Messiah was going to be like. And so he painted a picture for them about what this was going to look like and helped them to see what the Messiah would be before the Messiah ever came. And I want to say to you today, This is really important in our walk of faith, is that sometimes, oftentimes, God will bring somebody into our life that will help us to see things that we cannot yet see. That they will help us to see a vision for our life. They'll help us to see the gifts and callings of our life before we can ever see or know those things ourselves. They will paint a picture of something we cannot see so that we can be able to know where it is that we're headed, know what it is that we're looking for. And that brings up a question in my mind for you today. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you listening to? Who is it that's speaking into your life, and what are they speaking into your life? We need to surround ourselves. You need to surround yourself with people who will help you to see further down the road of your life than where you're at right now. It could be a pastor, a teacher, a friend, a helper. It could be many people. Maybe it's somebody that's more versed in knowledge of the scripture than you are, and they can help to unlock the scripture and the understanding of the word of God to you. Maybe it's somebody in a career choice that you have, and they have done what you're trying to do, and they know the ups, the downs, the pitfalls, the way to succeed, and they can help you. They are the ones that will inspire you to be better and greater than you are right now, because they help you to see who you could be, not just who you are. They help you to see what God says you are and what God has gifted you to be, even when you don't see it for yourself. So the question is, who are you surrounding yourself with? And if you can't answer that question and say, I am surrounding myself with those kind of people, then you need to go seek out those kind of people in your life. Go seek out those that know the word, those that know. No. If you're struggling as a parent, seek out those who are successful parents. If you're struggling in your marriage, seek out people that have had strong marriages and allow them to paint a picture for you of what could be, so that you can see what could be, not just what is. That's what John the Baptist was for these disciples. And so when John says, look, there's the Lamb of God, he didn't have to tell them to go follow them, because they already knew what that meant when John said it, because John had already caused them to see what they had not yet seen. And so they begin to follow after Jesus. And Jesus, when he sees them following, he turns around and he says, what do you want? Why are you following me? What do you want? And that may seem like an odd question. Why would he ask him that? You know, they're just following him down the street. Jesus was asking those disciples something more important than just why were they following him down the street on that day at that time. He was asking them a much more eternal question. He was asking them not what do you want following me right here today, but what do you want in life? What is it that you're seeking that you're following after me? And so the reason Jesus asked that question, and that's an important question for us to ask ourselves. God asks us that question, what do you want? Because there's a principle that I want to share with you here today, and it's an important one. What you seek will determine what you see. What you seek will determine what you see. You know, a lot of times in life, we're going to go after the things that we want. If we want money, we're gonna gear our life around making money. If we want a good marriage, we're gonna gear our life around marriage. If we want a certain job, we're gonna gear our life around that job. We're gonna focus on that. We're going to put our effort, our energy, our time, all of that into those things. And you know, sometimes that can be good, sometimes that can be bad, depending on what it is that we're seeking. But the fact of the matter is what we seek will determine what we see. Because what I'm going after is the thing that I'm going to be looking at. So when Jesus says to them, what do you want? He's saying to them, why are you coming after me right now? What is it that you're seeking? Because in the ministry of Jesus, people followed him for all sorts of different reasons. They followed him because he would provide a good meal sometimes. They followed him because he was entertaining. He did miracles, and you know, he cast out devils, and he raised up the sick, and he did all sorts of things that were entertaining. Some people followed him because he said inspiring things. Some people followed him because he was a rabbi, a teacher, and so they followed. People follow Jesus for many reasons. People follow Jesus today for many reasons. But all of those reasons why people follow after Jesus aren't really things that are lasting. And so Jesus wants to know, are you following me because you want me, or are you following me because of what you want me to do, or are you following me just to be entertained? Are you following me so you can get stuff? And so Jesus turns to these disciples and says, why are you following me? And so their response to Jesus is also very important, because their response at the outset might seem like they weren't really answering his question. He says, what do you want? And they said, where are you going? It seems like that's not an answer to the question, but it really is. Because the answer to the Jesus question, what is it that you want, is that they were saying, again, it's not just really about what house are you going to right now, or what road are you going to walk up? You know, in the present moment, that's what it was about. But they weren't just saying, where are you going today? They were basically saying to Jesus, wherever it is that you're going, that's where we want to be. Whatever it is that you're doing, that's what we want to do. Whatever it is that you want, that's what we want. And so they were answering Jesus' question by saying, we want to go and be and do and be close to you. That's what we want. And so that brings me to my second thing that I want to share with you here today, is that the first thing was, what you seek will determine what you see. The second thing that I want to say to you today is, if you want to see, first you must come. If you really want to see life from God's perspective, you have to come to Jesus. And so when they said, we want to know, Rabbi, we want to know where you're going, Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. When they said, we want to be where you are, he said, well, come on then. You know, in our life, it's really important for us to understand that whenever we say, Jesus, I want to be where you are, his answer will always be, come. And that's so awesome. Whenever you say, Jesus, I want to be where you are, his answer will be, come. Come to me. You know, one day the disciples were on a boat. They're out in the middle of the sea. There's a storm. The boat is you know, being flipped here and there. And here comes Jesus walking across the water. And as he's walking across, they see him and they're kind of freaked out at first. And Jesus is like, don't worry about it. It's me. And Peter asks the stupidest, most ridiculous question to Jesus. I mean, it's so out there. It's so unbelievable that I can't believe that Peter even asked it. He said to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out there to you on the water. So basically what Peter is saying is, if it's you, I want to get out of this boat in the middle of this raging storm, and I want to walk on the water over to where you are. That is so ridiculous. But Jesus' response to him was, well, if you want to be where I'm at, then come on. Come on, wherever I'm at. If you want to be there, just jump out of the boat and come to me. And so Peter jumps out of the boat. And it's interesting what that verse says. It says that Peter got out of the boat and he was walking on the water. As he was going towards Jesus, he was walking on the water. But then it says this, when he saw the wind and the waves, he got scared and he began to sink. And he cried out to Jesus. Now, as I've always taught that scripture, I don't know why Peter was looking at the wind and the waves in the first place. Because the wind and the waves were blowing before he got out of the boat. And even if the wind and the waves are not blowing, it's impossible for Peter to walk on the water. And so the wind and the waves were completely irrelevant to Peter's situation. But he got his eyes off of Jesus onto the situation. And when he turned his eyes off of Jesus and he began to see something other than where Jesus was, he began to sink. You know, in our walk with God, Christianity was never, ever designed to be boring. It was never designed just to be I'm just going to go to church and do the rituals and go through the routines and call myself a Christian and do all of that stuff. And there's no excitement. There's no that tug at your heart that we were talking about earlier. It's still there. There's still that tension in your life that you're not really living life, but you're sure going to church. You're still. That's not how Christianity was designed to be. Christianity, in God's eyes and God's perspective, is designed to be a never-ending adventure with Christ. Whatever it is, if you're walking with Christ, it's a never-ending adventure if you're trying to get where he's at. Because sometimes where Jesus is at is in the middle of the storm. Sometimes where Jesus is at is in the middle of that uncomfortable place in our life. Sometimes where Jesus is at may be the very place that we don't want to be. But if we will say to Jesus, "Where are you going? That's where I want to be." He will say, "Come on." And it will never be boring, but it will always be an adventure. And so when Peter's in that boat, Jesus says, "Sure, come on out and walk on the water," because impossible makes no difference to Jesus. Impossibilities are irrelevant to Jesus. So when there's something in your life where you feel like God is beckoning you and he's saying, "I want you to go here," and we look at that and we say that's impossible, we have to ask ourselves the question, is that where Jesus is? And if the answer is yes, then that's where we need to go, because he is not concerned with what seems impossible. Possible to me. If that's where he is, he says, "Come," and there will be a way for me to get to that place if I'll trust him and keep my eyes on him. And so Jesus' answer is always come. And he not only back to the disciples of John now, he not only says to them, "Come and follow me," but he says, "Come and see. Come and see." And so we have to understand that we can never truly see what God wants us to see until we're willing to come where he's at without any saying, "You show me where I'm going first, God, and then I'll come there." We have to do it with no preconceived notions, no preconceived ideas. We just say, "Where you're at, that's where I want to be." And he says, "Come." And if we will come, we will begin to see from a completely different perspective. And so Jesus invites them to come and follow him. And so they do. And one of those two disciples of John that is following Jesus is Andrew. And our passage today goes on to say that Andrew went and he got his brother Simon and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus sees Simon, he says to him, he says, "Simon, I know that your name is Simon, the son of John, but from now on, your name is going to be Cephas or Peter." And that word Peter or Cephas, it means a rock. And Peter in his life was a very unrock-like person. He was very tossed by his emotions. He was very impulsive. He had anger issues. He kind of just did whatever he wanted to do, how he wanted to do it. And that's how he lived his life. But when Jesus looked at him, he said, "No longer are you going to be that person, but you're going to be a rock." He changes his identity. And this is the last thing that I want to share with you today. When you come to Jesus, wherever he's at, and you see what Jesus wants you to see, he's going to change your identity. You know, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, "If you're going to come into the kingdom of God, you have to be born again." And we have, that's an important thing for us to understand, is that when we come to Christ, when we begin to see things from his perspective, no longer are we the person we used to be. We have to come to Christ. We're born again. We're born into a different identity. And through the cross, through the blood of Christ, he gives us forgiveness. He delivers us from our old life and he gives us a new identity. And that identity is one that can only be realized, one that can only be seen when we come to Christ and we say, "Wherever you are, that's where I want to be." And he will show us who we were really created to be. Not the person that life has kind of caused us to be, but the person he's designed us to be. So he will change your identity. And you may say, "Wow, when I see things from God's perspective, I don't think I can be that person." And it's true, you can't be that person. But when you get to where Jesus is, he will turn you into that person. And so he will give you that new identity. So it's very, very important for us in our lives to begin to see things, not from our own perspective, but to see things, to see where Christ is, and to go after his call when he says come. And when we come to him, we begin to see things from his perspective. When we do that, he will create a new identity. He will create a new life in us and through us, and it will be the life that we were designed to live. We will experience his love like we've never experienced it before, experience purpose like we've never experienced it before, because we see in a way we've never seen before. So I want to encourage you to do that today. We're going to continue talking about this over the next couple weeks. But for now, I want to stop. I want to take a moment and say, hey, thank you for joining me. If you're listening and you're liking what you're hearing, please drop a comment in the box down there. Let me know that you're here, that you're listening, that you're watching. Let me know what you think. And hit the subscribe button, the like button, the share button, depending on where you're watching this today. I would really appreciate if you help us get the word out. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you for everyone that's watching and listening today. I ask, God, that you would begin to beckon them to come to you. Whether this is somebody that has never had a relationship with you and they're going to find that, or somebody that's walking with you, but you're desiring for them to go further in their walk, I pray that you would meet them where they're at today, and that they would begin to walk on that journey with you. They begin to see things from your perspective in a brand new way, and you can only do that. We can't do it. You can do it, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.